have a chance to create a committee that will oversee the city's equity plan. I think that's an idea I would like to put forward before you. We would like to encourage the city to set mandates to increase Latinos and other communities of color in the management policy and positions. The hiring record of the city of Portland is falling behind of the representative of the city population, say 9%. Only 3% of the employees of the city are Latinos, and so are other minorities. So I think there is room for improvement there. We would like you to set employment participation rates. We would like you to prioritize government in publicly funding projects in high poverty census tracts that aim to reduce the negative trends and create an economic opportunity for everyone. And the other points I would like to highlight is the expansion of this diverse civic leadership initiative, investment in the Sun School system, and gang prevention. I think my colleagues here will elaborate on more of these points, but I think what you have here before you are partners that are willing to work with you, and I think we have what it takes: leadership, organizations, the data, the resources, while limited, they are here. The question is, do we have the goodwill to make a difference and leave a legacy of a better and more integrated, inclusive city for our children? Our moment is now, and let's seize it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Mayor Adams, members of the council, for the record, Victor Merced, director of Hacienda CDC. Let me, first of all, just preface my comments very briefly that reading this report and going through the statistics, in fact, are quite unsettling. They anger me a little bit because I see how far our community has to struggle in order to achieve equity. But on the other hand, I see hope. And part of that hope is to continue the dialogue. And as part of the action plans that we've listed, we want to continue the dialogue that we have with you, with members from your departments. We want the city to continue to make a commitment to discuss these issues with Latino leadership, and an ongoing commitment to address some of the racial equity issues that we've highlighted in all of our city departments. We'd like for the discussion to include issues around culturally appropriate data and research practices that account for the uniqueness of our community, and the allocation of resources for culturally specific programs that acknowledge where disparities are greatest. The other point to move forward in creating this hope that we seek is the creation of an equity lens language and policies through all the departments, and my hat's off to Commissioner Fish for moving his department, his housing department, in that direction. I know how difficult that is. I ran the former state agency under Governor Kulongoski, and I know how difficult it is to implement policies at a very high level, but the leadership must come from the top. And once that is established, I think everything will flow out of that. And as Pietro mentioned, the creation of a citywide action plan to address the disparities in partnership with Latino communities, leaders, and organizations. We invite you to work with and visit our Latino nonprofits, neighborhood centers, businesses, to better understand the challenges that the communities faces. And this is, I think, number five is perhaps the biggest takeaway of all of this, and that is that we approach the development of community solutions to address these disparities from a strength-based perspective, and that it be part of any equity lens that's applied to city policies. And what I mean by that is, you know, again, you look at the dire statistics, but there are inherent strengths in these communities. There's the love of family. There's the issue of becoming economically independent. Our community is very entrepreneurial, and we want to be determine our future. And so I think these are strengths that could be applied across the board when we start thinking about a variety of solutions. And there are examples in our community already happening to address that. For example, at Hacienda, we realized that there is a great entrepreneurial spirit among our residents, so we established a business program that would train folks on how to run and operate their own small entities, and that's taking advantage of many cultural aspects that they bring to the table, including not only their love of cooking, but also their love of wanting to be self-determinative of their future. And lastly, let me just say that that you utilize the information in this report as a useful tool in enhancing the livability of our great city. And I think that these tools that we presented today, these recommendations, are very useful for you and maybe the folks that come after you as city council members to use as they start drafting their vision for the city of Portland. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Carmen and respond to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for us before we pull up our invited guests?
Not yet. We had the good fortune that Commissioner Fish announced the strategy with you all, so I've had the opportunity to hear it before, and it's I want to thank you for your efforts. It's both devastating, but it also shows a path forward, a way forward. So who is next?
We have Dr. Carlos Crespo, Gail Castillo, and Jose Gonzalez.
Please come forward. Welcome. Who would like to begin? Please begin.
All right. Good morning, Mayor Adams, City Commissioners. For the record, I'm Carlos Crespo. I'm Director of the School of Community Health at Portland State University. I would like to thank the mayor and his staff for the support that he has provided to the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action. Briefly, the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action, or OLA, is a statewide convening body that brings together a diverse Latino community. The intent is to give voice, promoting social, economic, well-being, political capacity, and civic leadership through an open, nonpartisan, and participatory model of regional engagement. Now, it's a long mission, but it was crafted knowing that there is a big diversity in Latino community, and there's a great organization doing great things in the community. This past January, OLA and the Latino community in Multnomah County and unsettling profile reports were released together. They provide a statewide and local perspective that address many of the same concerns that you just heard. OLA's 12 recommendations are included in the Multnomah County report that you just were briefed. I have provided a copy of the OLA Summit report, and that's the one you have. In the report, we identified four priority areas. They were drafted around education, health, economic development, immigration. And these recommendations provide a guide for us in developing policies. We had a summit last October, and there was participation from all over the state. 61% of those who attended were from Multnomah County. The age range of those who participated were from 18 to 80 years old. But 45% of those were between the ages of 26 to 39, which highlights a great percent of the population who are ready and able to provide and contribute to Oregon. We also found that it's important that we develop leadership capacity and that we also continue to promote the arts and culture, which actually unites the Latino community. Both reports from the Multnomah County and the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action provide valuable data and information that can be used to provide a context for decision making with the opportunity to do better and move forward. I thank you for your time. I know that we are here to assist you, and I'll turn it over to Gail Castillo.
Gracias. Sure.
Hi, welcome.
Good morning,
back.
Mayor, members of the City Council. For the record, my name is Gail Castillo. I'm the president of the Hispanic Chamber. Briefly, the Hispanic Chamber served over 1,800 small businesses, primarily Latino. We've helped them access over $7 million in financial transactions. We've awarded over $1.2 million in scholarships to Latino students statewide, which have been matched. And we have trained over 120 individuals in a year-long leadership program. So my comments today here are to address areas associated with economic development. Economic development, as you know, is about quality jobs. Unfortunately, we know that Latinos suffer from low wages, which equals low economic attainment. Portland is the city with the largest, according to the last census, with the largest number of Latinos in of any city in Oregon, with almost 55,000 Latinos in its city limits. Unfortunately, the city of Portland's workforce, according to this report, does not reflect this. Latinos are only 3% of the city employees, with very, very few at the upper management levels. Yet, we're almost 10% of the city's population. Further, this report indicates that the indicators for Latinos in Multnomah County are worsening in the areas of family poverty, rent burden, home ownership, retirement income, health insurance coverage, and our unemployment rate. So the question is, what can the city of Portland do? Well, first of all, hire more Latinos at all levels. By the way, my colleague here is from Portland State. A recent report that you probably saw in the Oregonian indicates there are over 2,000 Latino students at Portland State. It's a great place to begin. We should all be working hard to help transition those students not only into the city of Portland's workforce, but into other quality employers in our region. We need to support professional development programs for those few Latinos that you have in the city of Portland to increase their management skills and their leadership skills so they can continue to move up in your ranks. We need to fund Latino community-based organizations. Yes, we're here, but our resources, as you know, are very, very limited. We're stretched to our limit. So fund Latino community organizations that want to work with you, that will help you recruit and develop your workforce. Fund Latino organizations to provide the important culturally specific workforce development programs to work with our youth and work with our adults. As you know, economic development is about supporting small businesses, which is the backbone of our nation. Latinos start businesses at 3 times the rate of the general population, yet their income is 1/10 of the general community in terms of their revenue that they earn. Latinos represent $4 billion in purchasing power in Portland, and this is growing, and yet there's very little recognition of this important community and these important positive contributions that we make economically to our city and our county and our state. So again, we ask, what can the city of Portland do? I'll just make a positive note here that the chamber has had a good working relationship with the Portland Development Commission, but we would ask you to continue to expand the funding to support Latino businesses through technical assistance and coaching to increase their access to contracting and to financing. Fund organizations that have bilingual, bicultural staff that can understand and communicate effectively with our Latino businesses. And increase your contracting to Latino businesses, not only in construction, but in services. We have a lot of professional services individuals, as well as goods and services. By supporting Latino businesses, you are increasing their revenue and their management skills. You're helping to create and sustain jobs. And by the way, you're helping to stabilize families and children so they can stay in school and that we all benefit from that. The Hispanic Chamber and my colleagues here, we look forward to our continued working relationship with the City of Portland. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of work to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jose Gonzalez, and I'm a founder and executive director of the Miracle Theater Group, also known as Teatro Milagro, now celebrating its 28th season as the Northwest premier Latino arts and cultural organization. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to address you about important issues facing the Latino community, as exemplified in the Latino Report. Thank you for recognizing that these issues go far beyond our community, but is a problem for everyone, regardless of race or cultural origin. We at The Miracle believe in the transformative power of art, and that every one of us, every human being, is born with an artistic flame. In some cases, that flame burns bright, ignited by community, education, and opportunity. In some cases, that flame is dim, waiting for something to ignite it. Recently, you took action, both in creating the Office of Equity and Human Relations, and also in negotiating a new contract with the Regional Arts and Culture Council, which included a charge to address equity in the arts. Both actions were smart, far-sighted, and in the interest of the greater good. Today, over 20% of students under the age of 18 in Multnomah County are Latino. This report speaks of the serious inequity that these students currently face in terms of education and the opportunities that arise from being able to read, do math, graduate, and go to college. We all know that failure in these categories will have an impact on their future success as human beings, as citizens, as members of society. We also know that their artistic flames must also be ignited, and like reading, if not engaged at an early age, might never be. Art and culture is important to us, not just as a pastime, but as an essential ingredient of our everyday life. Art and culture is what makes people and society civilized. While challenging, RAC's equity initiative is vital to determining to what extent children from communities of color are being served by the region's arts organizations and artists. What is the gap, and what needs to be done to close it? I know that these are just the beginning stages of this noble enterprise, and trust that you and future councils will build on the work started here. We know it will not be easy. Nothing worthwhile is. But we also know that it is for the greater good, and if we're serious about promoting human beingness, quality of life, and our community's reputation for being enlightened, creative, and smart, it's well worth doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Anyone else signed up?
We have seven people. The first four, please come on up, are Lois Casillas, Palmira Cruz, Christian Barajas, and Diana Leyva.
Hi, welcome. Bienvenidos. Who would like to begin? Sir, would you like to begin?
Sure.
All right, can you move the mic? There you go.
Good morning, Mayor Sam Adams and the Portland Commissioners. My name is Christian Barajas. I'm 16 years old, and I am in 10th grade at David Douglas High School. A little fact about me is that I love cars. I love everything about cars. In the summer of 2011, I participated in a program known as Latino Network C3, also called Conexiones. I always thought that in life, someone would always do everything for you, but I was wrong. The only person that can change your life is yourself. Overcoming your challenges will get you further in life if you put your mind to it. Conexiones is a recommendable program for Latinos who want to learn more about business and career information. Conexiones taught me what a resume is and how to apply for a job. We also learned about the Latino civil rights movement. Conexiones is a fun program for students. I learned various skills that I can use in everyday situation. I learned that your first impression is your only chance to show someone how you really are. Signatures are also very important. the way you dress is also an important part of life and careers. This program is a bilingual program that speaks both English and Spanish. Conexiones understands everyday Latino life. Some people may not get along with each other, but we are all similar in many ways. I hope that programs like these continue for students. This program shows great and useful skills that can be used by many students. Job opportunities should be found for those who would like to already want to start in the business world. Latino Network C3 influenced me to pursue my dream career. I would like to work in the automotive business. If I had the chance to already start working around automobiles, I would take that chance up in a heartbeat. I hope that in the future, there will be more opportunities to participate in another Latino Network program. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and really appreciate your testimony. Very well done. Thank you. Hi.
This is going to be a bilingual testimony, so she's going to speak in Spanish, and then I'll speak on the English translation.
Can you move that microphone closer to you? There you go. Great. Bienvenidos.
Muy buenos días, alcalde Adams y comisionados. Tengo el agrado de presentarme ante ustedes. Mi nombre es Lolis Casillas y me dirijo a ustedes para hablar de mi experiencia como líder de esta comunidad y la preparación que he recibido en programas como la Academia de Líderes de la Red Latina. Una manera en que a mí en lo personal me ha ayudado el haber participado en la Academia de Líderes es el conocer más de cerca las necesidades de mi comunidad y también el estar más enterada de cómo funciona el gobierno en nuestro estado, principalmente en el condado de Multnomah y la ciudad de Portland. El ser un líder me da las herramientas para poder ayudar más a mi comunidad y hacerlos partícipes de lo bueno y lo malo que sucede a nuestro alrededor. Como todos sabemos, estamos en una etapa de inseguridad y malos momentos que nos afecta más que nada a nuestra raza latina. Una de las áreas en la que nuestra comunidad tiene menos información es la de la salud, y eso es una de mis más grandes preocupaciones. El ser una promotora de salud me ayuda con todo el conocimiento que he ido acumulando en el transcurso de los años, el poder ayudar con la prevención de algunas enfermedades y en algunos casos abogar y apoyar las necesidades de cada uno que necesite de mi ayuda, y eso me da una enorme satisfacción. Yo he aprendido a dar sin esperar nada a cambio. Para mí, saber que ayudé a esa persona y el saber que con mi ayuda se solucionó su problema, eso, señores, me hace sentir muy bien. Por último, les pido que sigan apoyando organizaciones como la Red Latina, que nos ayuden a eliminar las desigualdades que afectan a nuestra comunidad latina. Muchas gracias por su tiempo.
Muchas gracias.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. It is a pleasure to appear before you. My name is Lolis Casillas, and I am addressing you to speak on my experience as a community leader and share about the training I received through the programs like Latino Network's Academia de Líderes, a civic engagement and leadership training project. The training I received through Academia de Líderes furthered my understanding of the Latino community's needs. I also learned how our state, county, and city governments function. My leadership development has given me the tools to help my community by engaging them in what is going on around us. As we all know, we are in a period of uncertainty, which greatly affects Latinos. My biggest concern is that my community needs more information on health resources. That is why I feel the knowledge I have gained through the years as a health promoter has been helpful. I am grateful that I can help prevent illnesses and advocate on behalf of those in need. I have learned to give without expecting anything in return. For me, simply knowing that I was able to help others makes me feel very good. Lastly, I want to thank you for the support you give to organizations like Latino Network and urge you to help eliminate the disparities affecting our Latino community. Thank you for your time.
Gracias. Bienvenidos.
Hola, buenos días. Mi nombre es Palmira Cruz. Estoy aquí para hablarles del programa Juntos Aprendemos de la Red Latina. Primero, quiero decirles que Juntos Aprendemos es un programa que sirve a las familias con niños de 3 a 5 años. Yo acudí al programa con mi niña en el 2007 y nos ayudaron muchísimo. A las mamás y los papás nos ayudan a estar más involucrados en la escuela con nuestros hijos. A los niños les ayudan mucho en preparación para entrar al kinder. Les enseñan elementos como los colores, los números y las vocales. Y también les ayudan a empezar a conocer la rutina de un salón de clases. Mi experiencia fue maravillosa, ya que mi hija entró al kinder lista y preparada en comparación a niños que no tienen la oportunidad de participar en programas como este, porque hay niños que ni siquiera saben agarrar un lápiz. Los niños que participan en el programa de Juntos Aprendemos están listos y preparados y eso hace una diferencia muy grande. Estoy muy agradecida porque me dieron la oportunidad de formar parte de este equipo maravilloso de Juntos Aprendemos para ayudar a los niños a aprender y a darles más herramientas para que tengan éxito escolar. Por esa razón, me atrevo a pedirle su apoyo a este programa, ya que los cambios que este programa ha hecho a nuestra comunidad es realmente sorprendente y de mucha ayuda. Muchas gracias por su atención.
Gracias.
Good morning. My name is Palmira Cruz. I am here to speak about Juntos Aprendemos, a program that serves families with children 3 to 5 years old. I went to this program in 2007, and they were very helpful. They help moms and dads become more involved in their children's education. They are very helpful in preparing kids for kindergarten. They help them learn elements like colors, numbers, and vowels, and they also teach them the classroom routine. My personal experience was wonderful because my daughter started kindergarten ready and prepared in comparison to kids who do not have the opportunity to be a part of programs such as this, because there are children who go into kindergarten not even knowing how to hold a pencil. Kids who participate in Juntos Aprendemos are ready and prepared, and that makes a huge difference. I am very grateful because they gave me the opportunity to be a part of this wonderful team, Juntos Aprendemos, to help children learn and give them tools for scholastic success. For this reason, I ask that you support this program because the change it has made in our community is truly outstanding and very helpful. Thank you very much for your attention.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Mayor Sam Adams and Commissioner and Portland Commissioners. This morning I told my dad I was coming, and oh my God, you should have seen his face. He was like, I'm proud of you, mija. To Latinos, this doesn't happen very often. So to my dad, it was like if I was becoming the President of the United States.
Smart dad.
And thank you once again for giving me this opportunity. I, a young Latina, a strong daughter with many hopes and dreams, with the faith that keeps me alive, that one day I'm going to be the first one of my family to attend a 4-year college. My name is Diana Leva. I am 16 years old, and I attend David Douglas High School as a sophomore. On the summer of 2011, I participated in Latino Network, also known as C3, or Conexiones. To be honest with you, Conexiones has opened my eyes to realize that just because I am Latina doesn't mean I have to sit there with tears in my eyes and my arms crossed. Conexiones has taught me to stand up and fight for my dream, to make goals and to cry tears of rejoicement when overcoming hurdle after hurdles, to reach my dream, my hope, and my faith of success. When I came to this program, I figured out that I was great at giving speeches.
Why, yes, you are.
Oh, thank you. Later on the program, I learned about the Latino movement and the background that myself didn't even know about. So much I didn't know. Conexiones taught me how to work on my self-appearance when going to a job interview. Not that I didn't know how to dress or that I was bad-looking before the program. They also taught me how to write an excellent resume about college opportunities and college information. Latino Network unites with the community. Doesn't matter if you're Latino or not. To Latino Network, we are our brothers and sisters. We unite in culture, background, language, family, and school. I thank you all for being so generous by funding this program and that it should keep on going in the future, because as you know, we teens are the future of tomorrow. And these programs are the programs that accept my flaws, yet pushes me to accomplish my best and refuses to accept anything than my very best, and never lets me underestimate myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done, all of you. Really appreciate it very much.
Could you tell us your full name just for the record?
Diana Leyva.
Thank you. You may return to your seats. Yeah, you can clap for that. You can definitely clap for that. And who's next?
The next three are Scott McLean, and I believe it's Karen Besuthel, and Nate Wasul.
Welcome. Hi. Welcome back. Our third person. Anyone else wish to testify? All right. I guess, Nate, you're it.
Wait up. Greetings, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Nate Wasul, board member with the Latino Network, and also vice president of partnerships at All Hands Raised, formerly the Portland Schools Foundation. I'm here today to talk specifically about the issue of education, which was called out very well in the report that the Coalition of Communities of Color put out. In our work in the education realm, we owe a lot to the Coalition of Communities of Color for helping educators think about, understand, and get honest about the racial disparities that show up in our community. A brief moment that I had is I was presenting one of these slides recently at another meeting. A participant in the meeting spoke up and said, thank you, appreciate it, appreciate seeing the data. But I need us to stop and acknowledge that this data isn't just concerning, isn't just interesting. There's an emotional impact here. And it made me stop. And I would encourage all of us, as we look at data like this that the coalition is bringing forward, to get to know more about not only what's the nature of the disparities, but what does it mean on a personal level, on a family level, to the folks in the community who are described in the charts and tables that we see here. One of those emotions is unsettling, is frustrating. We heard the emotion anger named here today when we look at this data. It's all very real. I want to reflect specifically on the education data and some of those vertical green arrows that you saw on the chart depicting progress. Despite some of the technicalities around graduation rate issues that have been called out very well recently, we do see a closing of the gap this year in Multnomah County schools across the county and across the city. And so emotions like hope and possibility start to creep in for us who are working in the education realm. We, at All Hands Raised and through our work with the Cradle to Career Partnership, we were able to bring together a council of executive-level leaders, including the mayor, Commissioner Saltzman, several business CEOs, community leaders, nonprofit leaders, who sort of started from zero and said, what do we want to do as a community and where do we want to focus our education improvement efforts? Those members unanimously said, the achievement gap, specifically the racial achievement gap, is number one. It's what we want to tackle directly, honestly, and we want to really start looking at issues of institutional racism in our community. We see that work advancing largely because of the work that the coalition has put forward in bringing these issues out, as well as the specific, culturally specific Latino organizations that you see represented here today. Council member Nicole Maher, the executive director of the Native American Youth and Family Center, often calls out in education conversations that we all say we want to cut the dropout rate. We all want to improve graduation rates. We need to understand that our greatest possibility is to focus on our students of color because that's where we see the biggest disparities happening. Not any more true for any population than for the Latino population, simply given its enormity in our community. Finally, we hear from young folks like Victor and Diana who illustrate a truth that I learned through 4 years working directly with Latino teenagers and their families in Jefferson High School, Roosevelt High School, Madison High School, and Marshall High School through the Oregon Council for Hispanic Advancement. And that truth is that the issues facing our Latino students are not a lack of capability, they're not a lack of motivation, they're not a lack of commitment. There are institutional barriers in place that our Latino students are facing. Issues like disproportionate expulsion and suspension. Issues like tuition inequity, as we encourage our students to graduate and go on to college, and yet many of them find a systemic barrier in their way, not allowing them to actually get the funds to enter higher education in our state. So much appreciation and much recognition to Victor and Diana and all the young people like them for illustrating the truth that we aren't lacking commitment, skill, and compassion amongst our students and a desire to achieve more.
Thank you very much. Carla, I'll entertain a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the vote on the motion to approve the report?
Fritz.
Well, thank you all for being here today, and thank you for the work done on this report and for the stirring testimony throughout the morning. Well, the last speaker talked about the emotions, and indeed anger and sadness and outrage are amongst them. What I've also heard is determination and hope. And that those are two of the emotions that I believe immigrants have had from centuries here in the United States. And I appreciate that there is still that hope in the face of these horrible statistics, this horrible data, which indeed is real people. When the council changed the name of 39th Avenue to Cesar Chavez Boulevard in 2009, we heard from a lot of folks about whether this was just symbolic and why didn't we actually do something that would be meaningful. Well, first of all, I think that that was really meaningful. And second of all, this is what we're doing. And we've done the studies. We don't need any more data. I appreciate, as we do have to keep going over the data, because as I'm out in the community, as I have been for the last 4 years, people are still asking me, well, why are we doing this equity thing? Shouldn't we just be putting the money towards potholes? So I explain, because we have this data, and we can no longer ignore it, and we need to do things differently. We have certainly made efforts in the past, but our new initiative, the Office of Equity and Human Rights, will take a systemic approach and involve the community, be a partnership between government and the communities of color and all of our communities in Portland to look at and face up to this reality and figure out together what it is that we're going to do to correct the disparities. I want to thank Amalia Alacranda Morris, the director of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who has been my partner for the last 3 years in this work, guiding the city towards the equity initiative in the Portland Plan. Jerry Williams in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement has been a stalwart leader in the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program. And as one of our speakers said, we wrote it down, we have what it takes to be successful: leadership, data, and programs. And yes, we do have the goodwill and the intention of leadership to follow through and to keep doing what we're doing well, to acknowledge when we haven't done well and do something differently to that, to put the resources necessary to create the outcomes that are different, because we cannot fail. We must not fail. And we have that determination together and that hope. And so I'm very hopeful as we move forward in the face of these studies, guided by Julia Meyer, our wonderful coordinator for the Coalition of Communities of Color, and Kerry Stevens at Portland State University. We could go on and on with all the partnerships that have been formed through facing up to these challenges. Thank you to our students also for taking the time to come down here. And the work being done at David Douglas High School is amazing. As I said, I could go on and on, but I will just simply vote aye.
Ish. First, I want to apologize. I have a big head cold, and I can't even hear myself anymore, but gone through three boxes of Kleenex today, and so my voice is a little off. I apologize. Thank you to Carmen, Victor, and Pietro for a very powerful presentation. You know, Carmen through the Latino Network, Victor through Hacienda, and Pietro through Catholic Charities are making an enormous difference in our community. And much of it goes without a lot of fanfare. We don't celebrate the victories and the accomplishments in our community much anymore. It seems like the media focuses on all the problems, but we very rarely celebrate the wins. And the community work that you do is making Portland a better place, and the relationships you've built with this council are making a difference, so I honor and thank all three of you and all of our friends and partners that are here today who've testified. I've heard a primary focus on education, on homes and jobs. So since we're being very prescriptive today, let me just say that on education, this council will have to make very difficult choices in the upcoming budget with 4, 6, and 8% budget cuts that have been projected. And for example, in the Parks Bureau, there's a proposal to reduce by, I think, two sun school programs. Now, they would not be in high poverty areas. They would have to be selected very carefully. This is no time to go backwards on Sun School, but that's one of the awful choices we have to make. So I urge you to bring your voices forward during the budget time. On homes, the data showed some significant disparities, and I just want to address home ownership for a second. What we have learned in the last 3 or 4 years as the economy tanked largely because of a crisis that originated in housing and Wall Street is that the most toxic mortgages were sold to the people in our community that had the least and were the least able to actually withstand the shock once there was a reset or once they actually read the small print. The state of Oregon recently signed off on a national settlement which brought $26 million of new money to this problem. Fortunately, and the council weighed in during the budget, during the recent session, fortunately that money has been segregated and sent to the emergency board, but it is vulnerable. And the problem we have in Oregon is we sweep those accounts when we have other budget holes, and we use those funds like the tobacco settlement and other things to backfill other worthy things that the legislature has to fund, but are not directly related to the purpose for which we got the money. We desperately need that money to address particularly communities of color, deal with culturally competent services to do foreclosure prevention, outreach, and education. So I hope you will lend your voice to the legislature, to your legislators, to protect the $26 million. Portland will get a big chunk of that, but all that money will then go to our nonprofit partners to help in the trenches, and I think it's terribly important that we protect that funding. And finally, since you've also identified the vital necessity of providing family-wise jobs and opportunities. Once again, this council in its budget will have big challenges, and the question will be, are we committed? Do we have the will to put general fund dollars in economic development programs outside of urban renewal districts? We have historically done so. I know the mayor will be asking us again, but we'll be making very tough choices. So if you believe those are wise investments, we need to hear your voice at budget time, that those general fund dollars are used to fund economic development citywide, not just in the 15% of the city that's covered by urban renewal districts. Two last comments. We're very proud that the Office of Equity has chosen to co-locate with the Portland Housing Bureau. We actually had some space, and so it's been rented to Commissioner Fritz and her team. So those of you visiting the Office of Equity will also be able to say hello to us at the Housing Bureau, and it is our great fortune that we'll be joined together, and we won't have to set up, it won't be as difficult to set up meetings. We're sharing the same space. And finally, and I know Carmen grows tired of me hearing me say this, but I just want to close on a personal note. We've heard some beautiful stories today, particularly among young people who have high ambitions for their future. And so I'm very proud to just share one story in my life, and that is why I'm in Oregon. And there's a very simple answer why I'm in Oregon, and that's because Carmen Gomez came to America some 30 years ago. And she is a woman with a sixth grade education and left a place of poverty and a lack of opportunity in the south of Spain. No woman in her family had ever gone to high school, but she came here the way many immigrants do to find a better way. Her eldest daughter was the first woman to go to high school, went to college, graduate school, graduated with a PhD from Princeton, funded by scholarships and the generosity of others. And her first and best offer was to teach history at Portland State University. Frankly, at that time, we could barely find Portland on the map. But she came and took the job, and she brought her family with her. Patricia, the daughter of Carmen, is my wife. And that is what brought me to Oregon, the only reason. Her opportunity caused by her mother's moxie in coming to this country. And our daughter, Maria, is bilingual, went to public school here in Portland in Spanish, and is now studying Spanish at the University of Southern California on a trustee scholarship. So that magic continues. But that's what inspires me when I'm home, is that in one generation, that opportunity, and the reason I feel so passionately about this is that I want everyone in our community to have the same opportunities my wife and my daughter have had. So thank you for your good work, and I look forward to joining you with the with the specific action items over the coming years. Aye.
Leonard?
Commissioner Fish honors me often by me recounting historical events from Portland, having been born and raised here, and I never tire of hearing that story, so thank you. Oregon does not have a good history with respect to how it has treated minorities. When I was in the legislature, we actually brought forth a constitutional amendment to eliminate provisions that had been amended out of the Constitution but could still be read. And they were, and this amendment was brought by Senator Avell Gordley, an African-American state senator from Portland, because just the deleted sections were so offensive to read, I won't repeat them here. But they specifically called out particular minorities and made it explicitly clear in the state constitution what rights they did not have, that white men did have. Portlanders today might like to think they don't have any of those vestiges of the past, but a recent incident in Lake Oswego in the last couple of weeks, wherein an African-American student's mother felt compelled to transfer him not out of just the school but the district because of the racist comments made to him by his classmates, leads me to conclude that those kinds of sentiments don't stop at the Lake Oswego-Portland border, as some might wish. I believe those same kinds of sentiments, as ugly as they are, exist, and I think that it is our responsibility as elected officials to make sure where we identify whether it's discrimination in housing or whether it's discrimination in school or whether it's mistreatment by the police or any one of a number of those kinds of what I will call violations of the law, that we vigorously and earnestly enforce the law against the lawbreakers. But I also think that there is much to be said about the human spirit, and that a lot of this comes down to individuals and how one responds and to those circumstances. I was struck, Diana, with your testimony, because you said you don't want to, if I remember correctly, sit and cry because of what's happened to you, but you'd rather cry because of what you've achieved. And people like that are the ones who succeed in life, notwithstanding the barriers put up in front of you. So I, Diana, look forward to reading about you in the future, and know if you have that spirit at 16, it will only grow and become stronger, and you can look forward to a good leadership position throughout your life. And I think all of us here probably expect that same thing from you. This was I appreciate having the hearing today. I appreciated the discussion, and look forward to promoting the agenda of equity for not just Hispanics or African Americans, but anybody who finds themselves in a minority position. There are plenty of white people who, for a variety of circumstances, are in that same place, that they feel discriminated against either because of their sexual orientation or handicaps or any one of a number of things. And we need to remember this is an effort to make sure everybody is treated equally and fairly. Aye.
Adams?
Well, thank you, everyone, for your work on putting this report together, on the enlistment and the community building that you did as part of it, not only in the Latino, Hispanic, American community here in Oregon and in Portland, but also among other racial and ethnic groups. That's really important. You've gone about this not only in an empirical way, but in a really smart community-building way. So thank you for that, Carmen and Dean and everyone who's been part of that. What we are, just a quick summary of what we're working on, starting with initial reports from the Coalition of the Community of Color and the State of Black Oregon, and initial census results. That fed into the Portland plan that has four, can be summarized in four words: prosperous, healthy, educated, and equitable. And there's obviously a lot more behind it than four words, but equity is what surrounds prosperity, our efforts on prosperity, health, and education. We then passed, the City Council approved, I think, the nation's only true census resolution, thanks to the Coalition of the Community of Color, where we're right now analyzing the undercounts in the census data that will be before the City Council for their approval, and that the way that the city government defines success in the future will be based on that more accurate census, the true count of the census, because we know that folks that are poor, people of color, certain ethnicities are woefully undercounted. So our work forward in response to your great work is going to be based on a truer count of who is in Portland as opposed to just what the census says. We then undertook an inventory of all the city's bureau practices, and that's been completed, and you can find that on our websites. At about, we created the Office of Equity and Human Rights, and Commissioner Fritz selected, I think, just a fantastic leader for that office. That office will provide the continuity, will provide the focus, will help us keep us all inspired and accountable around the goals that we are setting. Through this budget process, we've worked with folks that have been part of this effort to come up with a diagnostic through the budget process that will be a combination of both numerical and qualitative data reports from our bureaus as we look at their budgets, and beginning that process of identifying who we're serving and how well we're serving them. We haven't done as good a job in that area, especially. From all this will come with the Office of Equity and Equity Strategy for the city. It will include city government because we have to lead by example, but it will also include all the Portland Plan partners, over 26 Portland Plan partners, mostly in the public side. And then from there, or as we do that, we also will be working on the very culture of the city itself and the private sector. We have to involve the private sector in this. City government is your government, and so it's important we lead by example, but it's important that we lead change in the private sector as well. So this work, as you can tell from their comments, has the absolute passionate support of this City Council. I encourage you through the election process to quiz the candidates that are running to make sure that they too have a passion for continuing this work, because there's going to be a lot, obviously a lot more work to do. So thank you again, and I'm very pleased to vote aye. So approved. Congratulations. And we're going to take just a 3-minute break, and those of you that want to stay and see more democracy happen, great. Otherwise, you can go on to other things.
Good. How are you? Nice job.